I can think of no one better to play word association with than you, Josh. You ever played word association?
Not in a hot minute here, Ron, but I'm excited. Let's do it.
Wow. All right. The excitement of word association. Up.
Down.
Left.
Right.
Two.
Four.
Bottle.
Opener.
Oh, man. That is a contrarian, and that's what we're demonstrating today. Yes, contrarian betting. That's the subject of this edition of the Everything Guide. It's the Everything Guide to Sports Betting VSiN podcast. Ron Flatter here, Josh Applebaum there, and there is where you find a contrarian bettor. Josh, you've really carved out a name for yourself as a contrarian bettor. Is this going to be on your tombstone?
Unfortunately, Ron, I think it will be on my tombstone, yeah. Josh, oh. Contrarian Applebaum. But yeah, hey, there's a method to the madness, and I'm excited to get into it today because contrarian's a word you hear a lot, but hopefully we'll be able to define it to our listeners. And
yeah, brought it on? What brought it on for you?
Yeah, what brought it on for me is that, you know, when I first started getting into sports betting in college and really just betting with my friends, you know, I made all the rookie mistakes and I parlayed everything. I bet every home team, every favorite. When I bet a total, I had to bet an over. And I would just always make those mistakes that I now learn to avoid, basically. But believe it or not, Ron, doing that, betting every favorite, every home team, every over, breaking news, you're not going to become a millionaire doing that. So what I realized is that, you know, sports betting, if you kind of take the – if you zig while the public zags, if you go against unpopular opinions, if you buy low, sell high, if you bet against the public and you place yourself on the side of the house, I slowly started to realize that, you know, more often than not, the public loses and the house always wins. And therefore, if you can kind of get your biases, push them to the side and bet with a contrarian mindset where you're trying to – you know, lean more toward dogs and road teams and unders and place yourself on the side of the house. Long story short, that's a more profitable and smarter way of attacking the sports betting market than just taking the popular opinion. Because if the popular opinion always won, Ron, Vegas would go bankrupt. You know, average Joes would become millionaires. And we know that that is absolutely not the case.
Okay, so let's start with being a contrarian. And this isn't simply about being cynical or just having a jaundiced eye toward everything. We've all known young people in school when we were young, maybe we were this person, that questioned everything. Well, there's a certain degree of that here. But Josh, really, you can't do this without a strategy. And as far as being a contrarian, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit more in terms of defining it from the general into the specific?
Yeah, so I think we always think of a contrarian as someone who's kind of annoying and they're playing devil's advocate and they're always just taking the unpopular side just to kind of stick it to everyone else. And, you know,
so it is like school.
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
All right.
much like school, actually, when you think about it. But, yeah, right. Same sort of thing, but there's actually a reason to do it in sports betting. So if we take a step back, let's just define contrarian, you know. Basically, what you're doing is you are a person who is taking a contrary position or a contrary attitude as opposed to what everyone else is doing or saying. So you're going against the masses. You're questioning preconceived notions and narratives. And you're not just taking, the herd mentality as gospel. You are trying to buck the trends. You are trying to go against things, not just blindly for no reason, but to try to take advantage of, especially in sports betting, some added value overall. So we're going to talk about a little later, you know, getting better numbers when you're contrarian, taking advantage of inflated lines, and just, you know, overall, if you can get better numbers based on shaded numbers, that's going to help you win overall. But long story short, before we get deeper into it, all contrarian is when you go to a bar and you look at all the average Joes, nothing against them. We were all average Joes. We try to get sharper over the time, but whoever all those drunk guys and girls are at the bar rooting for, screaming at the TV, Ron, we want to bet against them. We want to be on the other side of whatever the big drunk crowd at the bar is rooting for.
Okay, now this doesn't just go to sports gambling. If you want to step back for a moment, and if you're familiar with areas outside of sports gambling. You're just putting your toe in the water for sports wagering. This isn't a lot different from that because you see this sort of strategy in places, say, like the stock market, right?
Yeah, that's really important, Ron. You know, we always talk about the GOAT Warren Buffett, because I always like to, I've learned a lot from him. I researched a lot of Warren Buffett when I was writing my book, The Everything Guide.
I understand you. I understand you have a lot of stock in Berkshire Hathaway. Is that right?
I do. I have a ton of stock. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, great quote, Ron. Warren Buffett once said that two super contagious diseases, fear and greed, will forever occur in the investment community. The time of these epidemics will be unpredictable. And here's the key. We simply attempt to be fearful when others are greedy and to be greedy only when others are fearful. So that's always kind of stayed with me. That goes back to trying to zig while the public zags. And this kind of goes back to just overall the fact that, you know, when you're betting on sports, if you're blowing in the wind, if you are betting all dogs one day and then you lose and you bet favorites the next day, you bet all overs, you lose, so you bet unders the next day. If you're blowing in the wind and you're rudderless in a sea of gambling and you just have no direction, you're really never going to see profit. You know, you may get lucky one day and sweep the board or do well. Maybe you have a good week. But if you don't have a strategy, you know, you're really never going to see the results you really are looking for. So to me, contrarian betting is it's a strategy. It's an overarching philosophy and foundation. If you can kind of just apply this as a, and I want to caution, this isn't, you're not going to become a millionaire just by being contrarian, but you want to be able to layer that on and use that as a foundation and use it to your advantage. And always kind of, to me, if you approach things more from a contrarian mindset versus a public mindset, that's going to benefit you in multiple ways when you're betting on sports.
Okay. Now, common sense does come into this, and we'll get to that as we go forward here, but you keep saying the word public. Okay. So how do we identify the public?
Yeah, great question. So the public, who is the public? The public is really the vast, vast majority of the sports betting market. I would venture to say over 90%, 95% of bettors would be considered more public. And really, that's just your recreational bettors, your casual bettors, your average Joes. There's a lot of terms for these bettors. Your weekend warriors, your guys and girls who just bet on the weekends when they have free time, or just bet really for fun. That's the key. When you're a public bettor, you're betting for fun. Betting is a form of entertainment. It's an escape from real life. It's a hobby. And really, of course, you want to win. And, you know, but the key here is that the public, more often than not, they lose. And the reasons why are vast. You know, the public is just notorious for betting with their heart, not their head. Yeah. Betting based on bias and gut instinct and not really looking at data or line movement or researching or looking at trends or any of that stuff. They're really betting based on their favoritism and bias. They're betting typically small amounts on games. And again, they're making up the vast majority of the betting market. They gravitate really toward favorites because when you think about, you know, just in a vacuum, in a nutshell, if I told you, Ron, you know, the favorite is expected to win the game, the underdog is expected to lose the game, you're going to say then, I'm going to bet the favorite. You know, it makes total sense. Why wouldn't I want to bet the better team? But you got to remember, you're laying points, you're laying a big money line price. The odds makers level the playing field by creating pros and cons. So again, gravitating toward favorites, home teams, overs, love betting on big name teams, teams with star players, top ranked teams. The public is also very, you know, recency biased. If a team is playing well the night before, they'll want to continue to ride them. So this all comes into the public mindset of betting based on gut instinct and favoritism. And as a result, we always got to say that, you know, the house, the odds makers, the sports books, it's not like they don't know this. They know these public tendencies. They take advantage of where the public is leaning, and they are basically setting odds and lines, not just from their, you know, high level algorithms and formulas and power ratings, but they're taking into account that, okay, I can maybe open the Lakers at -9.5 when really we have the game at 9 because I know everyone's going to bet the Lakers. So as a result, By buying into popular opinions and doing what everyone else is doing, you're typically betting bad numbers, and really you're kind of going against the house when you always want to be on the side of the house, you know, thinking long-term sports betting.
All right, we have a lot to unpack here, but as you're listening to this, were you saying to yourself, ooh, that's me, but you don't want to admit it? And then you hear another thing, that's me, and you don't want to admit it. Ooh, that's me again. This cuts pretty close to the bone, I imagine, Josh, for anyone, this cuts pretty close to the bone, especially those who are just beginning in sports betting. So how do you get us off the dime here, so to speak? I mean, it's almost like it requires an intervention. Let us be the intervention right now. How do you change these bad habits?
Yeah, we are the intervention. I think first it's don't be too hard on yourself. We all start off this way. It's completely natural. You know, especially when you're starting new into sports betting, you're very susceptible to crowdthink and herd mentality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what everyone else is doing, you don't want to look like the idiot that went the other way and lost and everyone else is happy and they won. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot that goes into it psychologically. And again, don't kick yourself for making mistakes early on and thinking this way, because we all started off this way. But really kind of, you know, in terms of an intervention, I kind of liken it to, you know, the Matrix, Ron. I remember when they had the red pill and the blue pill. And I don't know if you saw that movie, but you could basically Morpheus, Neo, the main character, Keanu Reeves, he said, I'll give you the red pill where you can live in blissful ignorance, or I can give you the blue pill and let you see reality, the harsh reality of the way things really are. So I think I got the colors right. It might be flip-flopped, whatever it is. But
I'll take your word for it.
The goal there, Ron, is just don't live in blissful ignorance. Don't approach sports betting the way you want it to be, the way you think it should be. Take it for what it is and try to take advantage of the realities of sports betting, the fact that it's not always the fact that favorites win. You know, it's not always the fact that every over hits. It's not always the fact that home teams always win. So the first thing you got to do is really have that intervention with yourself. And it takes a long time. And I'm a diehard contrarian, but I have a lot of public tendencies in the back of my head and biases that creep in. And, you know, am I really betting against, you know, Alabama, who's won 10 in a row and looks unbeatable? Yeah, because I think the line's a little too high and I can get plus 14 when it should be a, you know, a 12-point game, that sort of thing. But change the way you think. Don't, and we hear this all the time, Ron, don't bet like a fan. If you bet like a fan, that's what's really going to hurt you. And Ron, why is betting like a fan so detrimental to being a good sports bettor?
Because you're not thinking. You're going with your heart. You're not doing the research. You're not doing what actually is required in terms of putting in the effort, because it doesn't just fall to you. You have to figure out the point of view that you're taking and, more important, why.
You're exactly right. And I think, again, betting like a fan, the sports books, again, they're setting these lines with these biases in mind. And really, when you're going contrarian, again, you're leaning on a lot of underdogs, road teams, a lot of unders. And to me, someone, you know, a long time ago, I used to joke with some of my buddies, but the grosser a team looks on paper, the more, as a contrarian, you love them. Because if you and all your friends, and you can a lot of times use your friends as a barometer for the public overall. We'll get into it later in terms of using data to identify, you know, where public percentages are, and that can really help you to find out where, you know, where the popular plays are overall, which you would then go the other way. But again, use your friends as a barometer. You know, if everyone's saying, man, we're hammering the Warriors tonight because Steph Curry's on fire. Well, did you look at the line movement? Did you look at some trends where, you know, home teams laying big points aren't profitable overall? Those are the sort of things you want to think about. So I always look at the fact of, you know, the grosser a team looks, the more contrarian value they have. And a long time ago, someone told me this too, Ron. Cover up the names of the teams. When you're looking at a matchup, when you're looking at your live odds page, the minute you see two teams playing and one team is the Red Sox when they were good and the other team is a terrible team, throw out the Pittsburgh Pirates if it's an interleague game, you're automatically going to say Red Sox are going to win, Pirates are going to lose. So cover up the names of teams. Once you see the team names, you're automatically going to have your bias seep in. So it's hard to do, but cover them up. Look at the line movement. Look at the matchups. Even label them Team X and Team Y. That's a little thing that can help you a ton and really kind of take away your bias. That's the key to being contrarian.
I'm still trying to get past Lawrence Fishburne and get to the woman who played Du Jour, but, you know, I'm still tracing my steps back about 20-some years from when we recorded this. All right, so a lot of what you're saying is talking about what comes in your ears beyond the information, and that's the noise. And that's something that is really hard to really find whatever might be the equivalent of earplugs to block out.
Yeah, that's super important, Ron. And again, ignore the hype, ignore the noise. Nate Silver had a great book, The Signal in the Noise. Highly recommend that. But just if you're a sports fan or a Patriots fan like me or a football fan, Bill Belichick always tells his players, ignore the noise. Don't buy into the hype and the media bias, and don't be susceptible to narratives. You know, I kind of liken it to, I love watching sports shows. I love listening to sports talk radio. But there's a herd mentality that's formed by radio hosts and by commentators and by what everyone is pounding in your head, Ron, every single day that, Patrick Mahomes is unbeatable. Every day you see highlights of throwing touchdown passes, and they're 10-0 in their last 10 at home against non-division opponents, yada, yada, yada. All day long, you're pounded into this. And really, it builds this echo chamber where a narrative is formed, and then everyone will, you can't really help it. It's not your fault. You're going to fall into this narrative of whatever teams are being hyped by the media on TV, online, on radio. You're going to want to support them. You're going to want to buy into them. So basically, that's something you don't want to do. You don't want to be betting games based on crowd noise and popular opinion. I mean, we want to always say, Ron, that the public does win sometimes. So it's not that the public never wins. They do win. Sometimes they get hot. They could have a great week, a great month. But the key with contrarian is you're playing that long game. And when you buy into media hype, media bias, you're overvaluing a team. You're typically betting into bad numbers overall. It'll force you to, make bad bets or lay off a good bet. Maybe you were really excited and had a great line and did all your homework and said, man, betting against the Chiefs is a really smart bet this week for A, B, C, and D. But all week I've seen on ESPN and all these different stations how the Chiefs cannot possibly lose, and they have to cover the number. Maybe it talks you out of a bad bet. So that's the sort of thing, just a big part of contrarian. Don't buy into the media hype and the media bias.
It comes back to the old saying you hear at the end of a lot of these commercials, especially for stock tips: past performance does not guarantee future success. And that comes into play here. And a lot of what the media is talking about is past performance, because that is the shiny object in our faces. And I say our because, I am in the media. So let's talk about the numbers. You were talking about numbers. So part of contrarian betting, as we try to go into the nuances of this, is getting better numbers.
That's key, Ron. Yeah, and really, again, it's not just that more often than not the public loses and the house always wins. That's a very 40,000 foot high level advantage that you're playing with overall. But really, the methods of the madness is that when you're going contrarian, again, you're typically getting better numbers. So what does that mean overall? I look at it as, in terms of kind of two basic things: inflated lines and shaded lines. So an inflated line might be, let's just say Duke opens as a 10-point favorite in college basketball against Virginia Tech. Everybody and their mother is betting Duke. They've won 20 in a row. They have NBA players, Coach K. They're unstoppable. They're at home. 80% of bets are laying the points with Duke at minus 10. As a result, what do the odds makers do? Insanely lopsided betting. Maybe they jack up the line, Duke minus 11, minus 12. Let's say the game closes at minus 12.5 or even minus 13. That would be an inflated line. So what does that mean? It means that the public was so biased and so overwhelmingly lopsided toward one side that the line moved so far off the opening number that now you're getting extra points, added value, simply to take an unpopular opinion. So when the odds makers set that line, they say, yeah, it should be a 10-point game. Again, they're setting the lines knowing that the public will take Duke anyway most of the time. So by waiting it out, and again, favorites early, dogs late, wait on dogs, because oftentimes lines will, most of the time, not all the time, but move toward that favorite. So if you wait it out, you can get an inflated number. Now you take Virginia Tech plus 12.5, plus 13 when they opened at plus 10. Now, Duke could win by 20. That could be all for naught. It could be meaningless. However, when you cover in that situation, basically playing the long term, getting better numbers, getting a better number overall than what it opened at, especially getting dogs, and again, buy low, sell high. That's always the key there.
Right.
If you were to bet Duke at minus 12, minus 13 when they open at 10, I don't care what happens with the final score. You're buying low. You're late to the party. You're getting a bad number overall. So in those situations, despite the outcome, if you kind of take that contrarian mindset, take advantage of inflated line, that's how you're going to get better numbers long term and increase your chances of winning. And then just quick round, shaded lines, the odds makers are going to shade these numbers, which means move them further toward the popular side. So, maybe the Yankees, who are crushing it, best record in baseball. You know, maybe the odds makers see that this line against the Minnesota Twins should be Yankees minus 150. But they got the ace on the mound. Everyone's betting the Yankees, so they open the game, you know, minus 160, minus 165. Shading numbers can be a higher money line price toward the favorite. It can be, you know, a bigger spread. A lot of times you'll see it with the juice. Everyone opens, you know, the Seahawks -3 at minus 110. But because the odds makers know everyone's going to bet Russell Wilson at home, it's -3, minus 120, minus 125. So, again, it's all coming back to the fact of when you're going contrarian, you're getting better numbers overall, and you may not see it pay off in one game in a vacuum, but it's the long grind of going contrarian, getting better numbers that will increase your chances of winning long term.
And the other part of this, too, it's not simply contrarian to be contrarian. That's the temptation in terms of a lesson to take away here. It's just a first step.
Exactly. And that's what I think, again, is so we've defined that, you know, contrarian is a philosophy. And again, you don't have to go contrarian. You can bet any way you want. But there are tenets and basically advantages to going contrarian. So it provides you a blueprint. But it's not just to be that devil's advocate jerk just to take the other side, just to piss off the masses. You're doing it because you're getting better numbers. There's the method to the madness overall. But again, it's a foundation. It's a starting point. And really the other part of going contrarian is that really it's not sexy. You're going to bet on a lot of bad teams. You're going to bet on teams that are just disgusting. And you say, I took this dog +7 and they lost by 30 points. What an idiot I am. Why did I do that? That's going to happen. But when you stick with it long term, you grind long term, you look at it as investing, that's when you're going to profit. But the other key, Ron, when we say that contrarian isn't the end all be all, it's not the only way. What I look at it as is you have contrarian as a foundation, but then you got to make sure you're with the sharp action. You're with the smart money. You're with the professional bettors. So that's when you can, I always love it when, you know, maybe you cap a game, you got a great number, your number is better than the sports books, but also you've located sharp action on that side, maybe with some steam and you got a good number before it moved, or you had sharp reverse line movement or a line freeze. Plus, everyone's taking the other side and I can be contrarian and place myself on the side of the house. So again, contrarian isn't the end all be all. Combine it with sharp action, try to beat the closing line, get a good number. That's kind of the basic strategy of, in my opinion, placing a smart bet.
And that comes back to what I said earlier where we would bring up common sense. If common sense tells you that being a contrarian doesn't work in a particular setting, then certainly you better apply a certain amount of that common sense to tamp down the contrarianism. But that's the nuance that comes into play with every bet you make. So, yeah, it's not automatic. Now, here's something we've often heard for years and years, that all leagues want more scoring. They want more scoring. There's a reason that contrarians do, too. We'll get into that next as we continue talking about, or maybe we won't talk about it. We'll be contrarian on the Everything Guide. Ron Flatter, Josh Applebaum. It's the Everything Guide to Sports Betting VSiN podcast. Well, you know by now we're talking contrarian betting. So, Josh, in what sports is it better to go contrarian? And in what sports is it better to maybe throw a little cold water on it?
Yeah, this is a really important question, Ron, because we've kind of provided the blueprint. But the important thing is, you know, we need some actionable, you know, tips to take advantage of and really apply it to real life. So, number one, contrarian is a profitable long-term betting strategy, but some sports are way more profitable than others. Some sports you can't even do it in. The whole goal when you're going contrarian is not just to place yourself on the unpopular side and bet against the popular side. It's the fact that you have to do it in games with a ton of public action. You have to do it in games with a huge high ticket count, with a ton of public bettors and wagers, and games that are really what I look for are really heavily bet games where typically they're nationally televised games. They're on ESPN, TNT, TBS, Fox, you know, big nationally televised games, primetime games. Those are the games where they draw the most public action. So therefore, if you can go contrarian in those games, that's when you get even more value. So you look at, you know, one-off games, Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football. Those get huge ticket counts. Good opportunity to go contrarian overall. But really, your best sports to bet against the public, and again, you know, vernacular jargon, contrarian and betting against the public, it's the same exact thing. But the best sports, NFL, obviously that's your king, highest ticket counts among any sport. College football, your big game matchups, the NBA as well. Again, bowl games and March Madness, those are really your best times of year, bowl games and college football. You know, the games are laid out in weeks in advance. Ticket counts are huge. They're all nationally televised. March Madness is really the best time to go contrarian because you have an influx of public betting all at once who may not have bet all year long. But
there's just more public. There's just more public in these cases.
Exactly. And you need to go where the public is. You can't go contrarian in a low ticket count game because there's not enough public to go against. There's not enough bias to go against. So, you know, I love the NHL. I love hockey. I grew up a Boston Bruins fan. I love the Bees. I love betting on hockey. But I don't even look at where the public is in hockey because there really is no public betting the NHL. So as a result, you can kind of throw away contrarian when it comes to low bet sports. So lean on those big sports and always remember those heavily bet, nationally televised games, playoff games, bowl games, March Madness, your primetime games late at night when everyone's watching and betting on them. Those are your opportunities, your best opportunities to bet against the public and go contrarian.
Okay, so now that we've talked about the style, let's get to some of the substance and get into where you can actually identify areas in which a contrarian point of view stands to a better chance of being profitable. So where are you looking? Where do you start?
Yeah, so when I start off, first off, Ron, a president back in the day said, trust but verify. Can you name me that president and maybe in what context?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is Barack Obama when it came to the Iranian nuclear buildup.
Exactly.
Was it him?
That's correct. I was thinking Reagan.
I'm trying to be young. I'm trying to skew young for a change, Josh. You know, no, Reagan cuts a little too close to my youth.
Exactly, and Obama's my youth too. So and that's contrarian. We're going both ways. I love it.
Trying to be modern. That's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, it's great. It's great. We're hitting all audiences here, Ron. But yeah,
I think actually you're right though on the original quote. I think you're absolutely right.
So basically what I got with that is trust but verify in terms of the nuclear arms between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. It was basically, we're going to trust that you're not going to blow up the world, but we need to verify and make sure that you're actually abiding by protocols and stuff like that. So basically what I talk about trust but verify contrarian, it's that you trust that typically when you're going contrarian, it's going to be betting on the underdog because the public loves the favorite. Typically it's leaning on road teams because the public loves the home team. Typically it's betting an under because the public wants to see points scored and root for a high scoring game and bet an over. But you got to verify it because there are situations where that's not always the case. So I think of trust but verify in terms of data, and really when you're contrarian better, you're very tied into data and you lean on data a lot. So I look at live odds software that provides betting trends, betting percentages, looking at percentages from multiple sports books that can really tell you where the public is. And I kind of think of a bet split of around 70-30. So what that means is, 70% or more of bets are on one side. I want to be on that 30% or less side. Now, that's just in general because, again, public overvalues one side. You can buy low on the other side and get a bet, get good numbers and bet against the public, place yourself on the side of the house. The good thing with contrarian, too, is when you lose as a contrarian, the sports books lose, too. So it's like when they're mad, you're mad. So sometimes it kind of softens the blow a little bit knowing that, okay, in the long run, we'll come out on top. But percentages can be deceiving sometimes. I would just caution a lot of listeners that, you may go to one site that says 65% of bets on the Detroit Pistons +7. Another site might say 50% or 80%.
Right.
So I think the key there is, trust but verify the source. Make sure that they're compiling their data from ideally multiple sports books so that you're aggregating more data across the market overall.
Because sports books aren't always going to tell you the truth. They've got a reason for putting those numbers out there, too.
Exactly. And they, and a lot of times, too, like on Twitter, hopefully they're being honest, but they will tweet out a lot of, spreadsheets or breakdowns of, okay, percentage of bets on this side, percentage of dollars on that side, where typically you'll see an NFL Sunday, books like, the South Point or MGM or different books will kind of give that data out kind of after they've identified the sharp side. And being transparent is actually just benefiting their reputation overall. But live odds software is where it's at in terms of, you know, not only looking at line movement, shopping for the best line, but identifying heavily bet games and finding out where the public is. Because right off the bat, you know, you do your homework on capping a game, trying to find a smart bet, but I want to know, where's the public? Let me know where the public is. Let me identify where the sharp action is. And if we can get a good number, you know, long story short, if that's kind of the strategy you're taking, I think you're going to win more often than you lose long term.
When it comes to the type of bet you are making and where you're going in order to get that information, etc., how are you doing it and where are you going?
Yeah, so this is important too, Ron. You know, we've kind of laid out the fact that, you know, betting the NFL, college football is great to a contrarian. But where do you do it? Do you do it spread, money line, over under?
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that you're betting against the public, basically identifying the most popular bet type. So when you're talking the NFL, most popular bet type, Ron, the spread. We all know that.
Right.
The spread gets in the vast majority of tickets overall. So you can't bet against the public and look at money line percentages when you're betting the NFL. Same thing with NBA or March Madness, college basketball. So NFL, you know, football, basketball, what you're doing is locating the most lopsided games where a vast majority of spread bets are on one side and you take the other side. The totals, too, can be good contrarian opportunities. Typically, again, public will almost vast majority of the time take the over. But the over-under is the second most popular bet type with a lot of spread sports, but it's not as popular as the spread. So, again, contrarian value there, but not as much as the spread. Now, baseball is a little different. Baseball is a money line sport. You know, basically the most popular way to bet a baseball game is just who's going to win on the money line. In that case, you would be looking at betting against the public in terms of the money line wager overall. So that's really important. You know, if you're looking at the run line in baseball and going the other way, or the NFL money line and going the other way, you're completely missing the point here. Again, focus on spreads in basketball, football, baseball, especially heavily bet games, primetime games, looking at the money line.
Well, there you go. So we hopefully have given you a contrarian view. Well, no, wait a minute. An agreeable view on contrarians, a contrarian view on bet. I'm still trying to work it out. By the way, in 2016, the New York Times did a story on the origination of Trust But Verify. You are absolutely right. With Reagan, his Russian affairs advisor, Suzanne Massey, was preparing Reagan for talks with Mikhail Gorbachev in 1986, and she said, there is a Russian proverb, "Doverie no proverie," which means trust but verify. So there you go. You were right. I'm embarrassed. I used to work in news. Man, that shoots my credibility right in the foot, doesn't it?
No, Ron. Hey, you looked that up pretty quick, my man. I'm impressed. You got some good Google skills right there.
Well, yeah. That's about all I've got. All right, so there you go. Contrarian betting. Something to actually think about more than just passing it off as another lesson here. Apply it and see maybe in some facsimile samples for yourself how it would apply for you. And remember, as you said, Josh, in closing, we can point this out. The success rate in contrarian betting, because very often you're taking underdogs, you're looking for plus money, it may not have to be as great as if you're trying to go along with the crowd.
Great point. Great ending point there, Ron. Again, you know, baseball, looking at underdogs getting plus money instead of having to win 52.38% of our bets with standard minus 110 juice to break even with spread sports, over-under sports. Contrarian in baseball, long season, you can win, you know, 47%, 48% of your games, but because of the plus money, you're turning a profit. So, you know, again, you know, when you're betting on sports, you're the final arbiter of your bankroll. You make the smartest decision you can make. But we've hopefully provided today the benefits of thinking contrarian. You don't have to go all in. You know, you can find a rhythm and a level that you're good with. But I think, long story short, when you can bet against the public who bets based on gut instinct and bias, who loses more often than they win, you can place yourself on the side of the house. You can incorporate sharp action. And again, you're not doing it just to be a jerk. You're doing it because you're right. Getting better numbers. That's the key to take away from this. That's really a philosophy that I've you know, totally adopted and believe in and know that works. And hopefully if you can incorporate a bit of contrarian thinking into your everyday sports betting. Hopefully it helps you win a couple more games along, in the long run.
All right. So if you were in the back of the classroom questioning and contradicting everything the teachers said, or you saw somebody else doing that, that example from you when you were a kid can actually pay off now as you go forward. That's the lesson for today from the Everything Guide to Sports Betting from VSiN.